an ever-changing world, Conscious Co-Creation Productions presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher planes of existence. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you have never felt before. Life Changes with Filippo. And now, your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, John, and ciao, everybody. Here we are for the first time at our prime time, 7 o'clock time slot. It's very exciting for us, and we're grateful to the management for letting us know that our show is at the top 15% of all the shows on BBS Radio. And that's exciting for us, since just 2 short months ago, we started as the new kids on the block. And here we are getting bumped up from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and we are very excited about that. We're moving up in the world. Our show is moving on up, and this shows it. The numbers show it. People are showing it by emailing us, and I sent out emails to my friends and family, letting them know that we were moving to 7 o'clock because I wanted to make sure that they could listen in, especially on our first show on this time slot, and got so many responses back from people just praise and gratitude even for doing the show, and that blew me away, actually. Thank you for doing this show. And let me tell you, that makes me feel like we're on a mission, and we've got some important things here that we're presenting, and people are really taking it in and using it, and their life is changing. And it's interesting because I got asked to speak at an event this weekend at a conference that was being held in Orange County, and so I went and spoke on Life Changes and with Filippo and what it's about and what we're doing here. And there again, the response was incredible. And then it was interesting because I shared some of my personal growths that have been happening just because of the show. And people really resonated with that. A couple of the stories that I shared, they really took that in and said, yeah, that's happened to me, or I think that's going to happen to me, or I hope that's going to happen to me. And we're all at different levels, but we're all going through some similarities. It's like when I was singing and doing the Italian shows all over the country, and I'd have people come up to me initially and say, oh, I just loved the stories you told about growing up Italian-American and not being able to speak the language, English language, and learning it and making mistakes. And I really connected with that, or it really brought me back. And I'd say, oh, you're Italian. And some people would say, no, I'm from Argentina, or I'm from Mexico, or I'm from the Soviet Union. And at first I'd think, well, then why did you relate to that? But there are some experiences that are universal. And so I'd start seeing these Asian Americans come up and say, thank you so much, I related to your stories. And I thought, wow, you know, this is great because it's crossing so many borders. And now Life Changes with Filippo, it crosses borders indeed all over the place, because especially the changes that are going on in the world are definitely things that people can relate to. And so, encouraged by the numbers that keep going up of our listeners, encouraged by the fact that we're now on prime time, and encouraged by all the emails we're getting about saying we'd love to meet you, or people on Facebook saying things by sending us messages saying it'd be great if we could to meet your whole team. Because of all of that, we are doing our very first, a lot sooner than we thought we would, Life Changes with Filippo live event presented by Off Hollywood Media. And our very first one is going to be in Orange County. And as I wrote to everybody on my mailing list, I said, of course, not everybody that I know lives in Orange County. But we're hoping that we could do these all over the world, Because there again, the message really transcends culture and race and religion. We're not about religion. We're not about, we're about definitely culture. As a matter of fact, our very first show will feature a singer, a Tibetan cultural ambassador. And she's a recording artist in Tibet and big out there. And she's coming out to do our show. Her name is Yangjin Lamu. She is a delightful person, a beautiful, sweet voice, and she's flying out a guitarist from Taipei, Taiwan, and he's going to be accompanying her, and if the moon aligns correctly, I'll get to sing a song with her as well. And we've got a world-renowned numerologist who's no stranger to you all because we've had him on the show, and I know he's been on BBS before, and that's Julian Michael. And he's going to do, we're going to do the interview live, just like we do on the show, and then he's going to give out a numerology life coaching session right there, and someone's going to actually win the coaching session and stand on stage with us and get their numbers read and their life told. And I said to him, what if something bad comes up? And he says, nothing bad comes up. It's all how you look at it. And he says that we can work with any number. And I thought that was really great. We're going to have Dorothy Lee, who's going to be doing a moon ceremony, and she's going to be doing energetic alchemy and some of what you hear here, the State of the Universe address. And for that matter, Stacey Hess as well, giving her luminary list, but a live version of that. We're not sure what that's going to look like yet. At least I'm not. I think she is, but I can't wait to see what it looks like live. So basically, it's going to be a live event, just like our show, only it's going to be longer, bigger, thicker, wider, taller, and louder, a lot more fun with music. I'm going to sing as well. We have live musician Marco Misinato going to be playing throughout the event. And one of the things that I think is going to be really fun is that we're going to have our producers. Now, some of you might have heard our very, very, very first show where we had three of the producers on and we were chatting and laughing. And so many people wrote about that saying, that's so fun. And that's when they really wanted to meet us. So you're all going to get to meet them, those of you who could come. We're calling it the Musings of Foresight. There are four of us, and we're going to be talking, Mark Skelton, Jon Snow, Mark Leisure, and myself, talking like we do, laughing, joking about things, and presenting the way we look at love and spirituality, relationships, whatever the situation is, and whatever the topic is, we're going to have fun with it. And we're sure everybody can relate with that. So here we have our very first Life Change with Filippo, so live event. So please go to our website and learn more about that. And if you're interested in bringing us to your town, do let us know by email or contact us on Facebook any which way, and we'll be happy to work with you on making that happen. Now, our guest today is Cheryl Canfield. And now she talks about something that everybody can relate to as well, which is really interesting. She talks about peace. And what's interesting to me and why I couldn't wait to have her on the show, and Mark Skelton, one of our producers, brought her to us, and she's been working with Jon Snow to make this all happen. And it's really exciting because she talks about peace in a really interesting way. And you know, everybody, especially around the holidays, say, oh, peace to you and peace to the world and all that. And I've thought to myself often, how can that peace really happen? And what does that really mean? So Cheryl Canfield is with us to talk about peace and help us change the way we look at peace. And she gets a lot of her direction from a lady who came way before us, and that is Peace Pilgrim. So we're going to bring Cheryl Canfield on, and let me tell you a little bit more about her. She's a life and wellness counselor, a teacher of spiritual principles, and a peace proponent, inner as well as outer. So that's what we're really going to focus on today. But before we do that, we're going to talk about her being the current president of Friends of Peace Pilgrim, which is a nonprofit organization that promotes peace by way of Peace Pilgrim's books and her messages and the memory of her. So without further ado, Cheryl, are you with us?
I am. I'm here, Filippo, and all the more honored when I hear you talk about this being the first of your primetime shows. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, and thank you for being our first. As a matter of fact, you're our first in a long time who's not sitting right here with us, and we're happy to have you on the show. I just haven't had the chance to meet you. I know Mark has, and a couple other people, and they all say you're as delightful as I thought you were from the very first time we chatted.
Well, thank you.
So hopefully next time we can have you here live. You know, Cheryl, you do some amazing things around this whole concept of peace. And one thing in particular I can't wait to talk about, and I think you know what that is. But in the meantime, you are the president of Friends of Peace Pilgrim. Now, I did not know Peace Pilgrim until Mark Skelton told me about her. So she's a fascinating lady as well. Please tell us a little bit about her.
I surely will. She was actually, she is an historic figure, an amazing woman who actually stepped out during the McCarthy era. That goes way back to 1956, when it was a time when the war was raging in Korea. Congressional committees considered people guilty until proven innocent. It was a time when there was a great deal of fear among people, and it was safest to be apathetic. And especially at those times, to be a woman and to step out on the road as a pilgrim walking for peace was simply unheard of. But she considered it her calling to go forth in society to wake people up from their apathy and get them thinking. And she was so amazing that she designed this little tunic that she wore to draw attention away from herself and toward her message. And it said Peace Pilgrim in big white letters on the front. And her earlier tunics read Walking Coast to Coast for Disarmament, which later changed to Walking 25,000 Miles on Foot for Peace. Now, wow. You know, I go back to the Vietnam generation. And so in 1976, when peace had been on the road for many long years already, which, by the way, she had made a vow to walk until given shelter, to fast until given food, she never asked. She didn't carry money, and she didn't take it when it was offered. So this was totally a walk on faith. I mean, just amazing.
And when you mean walk, you mean walk. She literally walked on her feet, her shoes, across the country.
She walked on her feet, yes. she walked on her feet, and you know, in the beginning, now she walked for 28 and a half years before her death in 1981.
Wow.
And in the very beginning, she absolutely did not take any rides. Her walk was to help her stay focused on her prayer for peace. And so she never hitchhiked, she never took rides, she did all of her walking on foot. Now, towards the end of her journey, towards the end of her life, which is when I knew her, she had changed her priorities. She had a sense that she needed to start talking to as many people as possible. And so at that time, her priorities changed, and talking became more important than actually walking every step. So at that point, she did start taking rides in between engagements so that she could speak to as many people as possible.
And how old was she at that point?
Well, you know, she didn't give her age, and that was one of the things that was...
of course, what am I asking?
Yeah, it's, you know, she... she didn't give her age, and she said that she remained ageless and in radiant health by putting age out of her mind. And she said she had absolutely put it out of her mind. She didn't even know how old she was anymore, and she didn't want to know.
Well, so. That's great, and we'll honor her with that. And the reason for my question is to let the audience know, who might not know her as well. I've seen pictures, and she had white hair, and she wasn't 13, or I mean, not 13, but she wasn't 20 years old. She was
no. And actually, you know, she made her passing in 1981, and since that time, her life story is coming out. I did happen to find out through a bit of snooping in some old newspapers she was alive. She had a great sense of humor, but she tried to, you know, keep her privacy. I can tell you a funny story about a friend of mine and I who were traveling with her, and as I said, we had done this research and had found some old newspaper articles that gave her age and her name, which she never gave out. She called herself only Peace Pilgrim because she knew that people only remembered a little bit, and she wanted them to remember the important things. So when they recalled her name, she wanted them to remember her message, which was we had discovered this old newspaper, and this friend of mine named Andy sat down next to her, and he whispered into her ear, "Peace, I know who you are." And she looked at him, and she said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Your initials are M.R. And he goes, "Oh, for heaven's sake, where did you hear that?" He said, "Oh, I read it in an old, I found an old newspaper article." And she laughed and goes, "Oh, you know those reporters always get things wrong." So even at that time, she didn't admit to it. She knew we knew.
She sounds delightful.
She was wonderful. She was wonderful. She started out walking. She called it her retirement project, but realistically, she was 43 when she started out, and her hair was turning to silver.
Wow.
And she walked for 28 and a half years without ever having a home, without ever asking for food, without ever asking for shelter. And yet, by the time that I met her, she said to me, laughing, "You know, people think I don't get enough to eat. The truth is, I get too much."
No.
And very often, yes, go ahead.
Well, I was just about to say, what a beautiful mission. And during this time, she wasn't just walking and talking. She was also writing, and people were writing her, right?
Yes. Her tunic had these little pockets sewn in all around the bottom. And she carried, if you can imagine, she carried everything that she owned. What she owned was a toothbrush, a comb, a map, and all of the mail that was sent to her while she was walking. Now, remember, she started out as an unknown. But as the years went by, she had met so many thousands of people, and people wrote her all the time. She would keep her mail in her back pocket. And she said, "You know, when you're walking, every ounce counts. So when I get my mail," she goes, "I answer it as soon as possible."
Oh.
And so, yes, she did. She sat down every evening or whenever she had a moment. And I can tell you she didn't have many, because she was either walking or she was in a town speaking. And when she had speaking engagements, when she walked,